All right, it's kind of a dreary Saturday morning, December the 28th. We need to brighten your day up. And how are we going to do that today? How are we going to do that today? It's an honor and a privilege. I talk about friendships and relationships all the time. And today, or for a long time, I've wanted to get two people in the WRMJ studios at the same time. My New Year wish, my Christmas wish came true today. Mr. John Marks and Glenn Cook and Jim Taylor are together as one. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for coming out today.
Thanks for letting me be here, pal. I appreciate it.
Morning, John.
Well, we all like one another, right?
I always joke with Glenn Cook.
It's funny that one day I was doing a Rock Ridge game and I saw... I'm always thinking about, like, radio conversation. So the one day I was broadcasting a game, and Rockridge was playing Fulton, okay, in basketball. So Coach Elder had, I think it's one of the Skipper boys is his grandson.
Oh, my Lord.
And then Dave Whiteman was there watching, you know, Toby's kids play. And then Glenn Cook was there. So I said, hey, I got Cook, I got Whiteman, and I got Elder. They're the perfect WRJ sports line, right?
About 150 years of that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You don't have enough tape.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, we could begin our conversation. You know, I've been doing it for, I think, the 30th year. I don't know how many years you've been doing
35.
It. 35. Your career, Glenn, 82 years. but let's talk about the importance of relationships and how fortunate you are in the jobs, in the careers, the path you have chosen, whether it be me, you, John Marks, or Glenn Cook, about the relationships you've been able to develop. You don't make, I don't think either of us make king's ransoms, but we do, I think, in relationship building. I don't know where I'd be in this job, or in my life, with the relationships I've made with this job. It's been so amazing.
Well, we're sitting here because of that, Jimmy, and that's the best point. The people that you come, that's the neat thing. And Glenn, what I get to do for a living, and I'm compensated pretty fairly, so I'm not complaining. So you know, Mr. Hoshite can take up the financial end of it. But the thing of it is, you made a great point through work. Through whether it be covering and doing what I do, writing a people influence column, or the coaching side of it has just added to it. When I got the opportunity to, and Glenn, you knew, when I got the opportunity to switch over from sports to being the paper's columnist, when Murray Hurt got sick, I got the opportunity to go back and coach every day. And through football and baseball and being around things where I get the opportunity, and I knew Glenn from my radio days, but I got to spend time with him, and I knew his background in loving the game. But you know, we got to sit down and talk about it, and that just it expands. You grow to know people; they have an opinion of you before. There's always a preconceived notion, and then you get an opportunity to sit down and you find out, you know, how neat this environment we're in right now. I got to do that because of getting to know you guys through this.
You know, I'm a little different than everybody. But
before he finishes, he called me though last night and said there. He went big time on you and told me there's certain things I can't talk about today.
No,
go ahead. I can't go.
I'm surprised his agent.
Come on, Coach. Can't talk about this. No. He went big time on me. I'm like,
agent. No. I was waiting for his agent to call.
Yeah. No, but I'm in a different position than you guys. You know, all I do is the PA. It's not my.
Yeah, but you coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But here's
a
great thing Cook said to me one day, and I'll let you segue and carry on. You said when I go to the school, if some kid approaches me and says, "Hi, Coach Cook, how you doing?" You say that makes my day.
Oh, yeah.
But the only thing is, son, you better not have your hat on backwards.
No, right.
Basically, but
no.
That's how.
God
how
bless you.
Yeah,
but
you say like I want to go see Coach, and I want to stop by and see Coach Henry teaching in his room.
Oh, I get
that's like the
that
stuff
sounds really
about,
corny,
right?
But when I go down the hallway at Rockridge and I go by Coach Henry's office. I've got goosebumps right now. I can hear the passion in his voice as he teaches math. You know, that's why he's a great coach. I swear, Johnny, that great coaches are great teachers. And, was I a great coach? No, I wasn't. I know what I was, but I also know that I had a relationship with the kids. And that was my goal. I learned so much more from the kids than I ever taught them. And I had some good players, Tyson and Seth Harden and people like that I learned from. But that was hard for me. When I started coaching, it was hard for me to admit that I didn't know everything. I thought I knew everything. I found out one practice that I didn't know anything.
But here's the thing, you know, too, John Marks, and I've talked about this with Coach Cook as well, and I can use football as an example, right? Multiple systems work.
Yep.
But the reason multiple systems work, because you can say, well, you need to run a wide open offense. Okay, yeah, well, some coach can do that. You can run wing back counter, and it'll work all the time. But the first thing is the kids are smart enough to know if you care about them.
Yep.
And you run any system. And they know. They know if you care about them. And any coach that gets in the profession, and you see the good coaches that have success, it's those coaches that 20 years down the road, that kid is still coming back, that kid's invited him to his wedding, that kid's invited him to his college graduation, and then you're looking at that coach, and he's still winning.
You just took the answer right out of my mouth. I think it, and Glenn, you can, your thoughts, but I think it's all predicated on the number of wedding announcements and the number of birth announcements and the number of graduate, et cetera, the relationships. And you do a great job of this. The Facebook post from somebody today on a social media, Coach, do you remember this day? You remember that? Or they send you a private message or a text, and you're, as you said, still in contact. That's how you measure success. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Your life as a coach is predicated on 16, 17, 18-year-old young men being good. I mean, if you don't win, you're gone. Right. We all understand that. But the relationships, whether you win on a certain point on the field or not, if you win in the game of life with them trusting you or embracing you, that's night and day to me. That's the winning.
You know, Jim makes fun of me for saying this.
Well, we always make fun of you.
Yeah, I know you do. But I've had a saying all my life is when the game starts, there's only one goal, and that's win the game. And you'd be surprised how few people get that. I swear to God, I mean that. When the game starts, you're there to win the game. Yeah, no matter what the score,
like
it does not.
Blazer. That's the kid that said, and I get that. And Ethan Happ, win the game, and Liz Watkins.
But it does not matter what the scoreboard says. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing everything within your power to win the game. And if you do that, you win. The scoreboard's.
It'll all take care of itself.
Yeah. You go on Friday Night Lights on me.
Yeah. But it'll all take care of itself.
Yeah.
But do it the right way.
Yeah, sure. Tyson is the perfect example, and you guys need to talk because you guys are the best. But I just want to tell one quick story about Ty.
Man.
Okay, Ty had a football game one night. This is perfect Tyson football game one night up here against Monmouth. He had 18 tackles, threw for two touchdowns, ran for two touchdowns, and kicked a 43-yard field goal. When he came on the field, he was there to win the game. Okay. Went down to Westmer in a basketball game. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean to run Russ. But they were down. Okay. He scored 4 points. They could have scored 50. The next night, they went to Chicago Manly.
I remember that. He scored like 41.
He scored 34 points. Because they had to have him. They had to have him.
And then he had the other four assists in the game, probably.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the record setter at Rockridge now. He doesn't hold the record because it didn't mean anything to him. Okay, that's the two basketball. In baseball, we played here at Alito when Alito was good one year. He picked a guy off of every base. Picked a guy off third, picked a guy off second, picked a guy off first in the same game.
Well, because his head coach taught him the right pick off.
I didn't teach him one thing. The only thing I taught Ty was take his mask off when you get a foul tip.
Readjust and go. Okay.
Anyway,
and make sure you got to the bus on time.
And so what I'm, you know, that's what I'm saying. And Liz Watkins, same way. Win the game.
So back to relationships, and I always say one of my, I'm fortunate, you know, I always say talk to people. You know, that's the greatest thing in life, and especially young reporters or whatever. You want a story there, you take your recorder and your notepad anywhere, you can walk down the street, and there's a story. And I know you do a great job as a columnist.
Well,
and I tell you
one
of my great memories in all this, I'll never forget, is I've been in this job long enough on the news side and the sports side for 30 years, and I reported on a subject. And that individual went to prison, okay? And I'm not going to name the name, and I know you probably did a column on him, Mr. Marks.
He's my friend, too.
Yeah, that's right, man. So one day, I got in a car with Glenn Cook, Cully Welter, and we drove down to Taylorville, Illinois,
yep.
at the correctional center.
Yes, sir.
So it's a three-hour drive. So we had this conversation driving down, and you can meet with the inmate for 4 hours, and you sit at a table. Table says inmate. And then, so it's a four-seated table. So table says inmate, and then it says visitor, visitor, visitor. And then you are in a room with families that are there seeing other inmates, right? Mm-hmm. And there's the other thing that really slaps you in the face, there's a specific bathroom for said inmate, right?
Yes.
And there's a specific
yep.
Bathroom for visitors.
Yes.
So when I talk about relationship building and things like that and... You know, just what I've experienced in my life.
That was
trip. Such a unbelievable experience when people are trying to find redemption, and they do wrong in life, but they're trying to make a comeback. But you have to have empathy, and then we talk about collateral damage in life. You know, and that was one of the days that all in my 30 years of doing this. That is a day I'll never forget.
Yeah, I loved that day. It was a great day because I learned, you know, does this sound like I'm blowing smoke, John?
No.
But I'm not.
But then
I learned
a column on this
yes,
subject,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Oh. John, your
again,
column.
Still my friend.
Yeah.
Always has been. Heard from him on Christmas.
Yeah.
Your columns are one of the few reasons I take the paper.
Bless you.
That is no kidding.
Well, there's a backhanded compliment.
No.
Just
bad. No. Well, no, I mean it. I got mad at the
you
paper.
You told me your favorite... Argus Dispatch employee by far was Duckett. Now you're sucking up to Mark.
Yeah. Well, Tico, everybody knows Tico takes care of the people. That's, and I, again, I'm not changing subjects, but let's talk about prep sports. Okay, your bread and butter, we understand it. Your bread and butter, still yeah. my bread and butter, bottom line, and give Tico a little credit. Terry loves to come out and take care of the region, and God bless him for doing it.
Yes,
it's not glamorous. It's not. Sometimes it's a long drive, as you know,
yep.
Packing up equipment and going. But he's established a relationship, and you come to what people in let's use Alito as an example, Rock Ridge or wherever, they come to expect to see you and John on a Friday, whoever it might be, mm-hmm. on a Friday night or a Thursday.
And they should, and I'm glad they do. That's
and
right.
You bet. And they should see. They come to, with all due respect. They're sworn enemies that come to see the TV guys on a Friday night because they're trying to get as many games in. They expect it. That's not a bad thing. We should because of where we are and what we do. I think be as regional as you possibly can and as local as you possibly can. That's why we're all sitting here because of the young people that we deal with.
Right.
I'm curious, John Marks. Do you? When you look back at your career, especially from a columnist standpoint, mm-hmm. have you ever thought, man, I'm kind of getting too invested in this subject I'm doing? Or
good question.
I mean, do you yeah. ever kind of get that feeling
sure.
sometimes that, man, maybe I better step away a little bit? Or maybe you have to approach that way as a columnist?
It has to be. You have to set yourself aside. You understand. Even if it's a hard news story or it's a column, you have to set yourself aside and put yourself as the journalist. But the other thing of it is a wise man in this business, for what I do, me specifically, a wise man in this business 100 years ago took me aside and said, look, everybody should have something positive, mind you, positive, written about them before their obituary. Think about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're 197 years old, so when you eventually, when you die at 297, somebody's going to write something nice about you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should have something nice. Same with you. Before that time, you should have something nice right now. I don't, you know, does that make me cheesy? Does that make me hardline, fake news, all mm-hmm. that, the stuff that we get accused of in today? Okay, take whatever shot. I just think your local newspaper in this environment, in a community of 400 or 500,000 people, needs to have something like that.
I agree.
And I think it adds something. So
I agree totally.
And it's no different, Jimmy, than you on a Friday night, you and Biz swatting crumbs off his chest and because the chicken ran down or whatever media room or whatever whatever hospitality room there is that night. It's the beauty of it, and people come to expect it, and that's okay. The standard you and John set should be kept up that way.
But this is perfect, though, Cook. This is why I like Cook, okay? So he told me, we talk about media a lot. Glenn's done some games with us, baseball, softball. He's second, but if you can believe it, he second guesses John Nelson, who's won 8 million games at Rock Ridge. I'm like, what? He's second guessing John.
Yeah, but I, you know,
he's second guessing John Nelson.
Like, not very often, I don't.
And then Nelson,
attaboy,
will say,
cheese pizza.
And then Nelson will come up to me afterwards or 2 days later, say, "Hey, listen to the archive. What in the world is Cook smoking when he broadcast with you?"
Well, it's different from baseball.
But
softball.
Said, oh yeah, he said. It was great the one day we were talking about media coverage, and I'm gonna, you brought up Terry Duckett, friend of mine. I love seeing him. I love seeing media people all over the place in the different people we interact. You know, because I'm on the back half of my career. I get that, and I worry about the future of what we're becoming, and I'm sad by what I see, and I don't look at. Really, is this job is competition anymore? I want the profession to be sustained, whether that be the local newspaper, local radio, local TV. And I remember Glenn Cook said this to me the one time we were talking about, you know, coverage, and he goes, Taylor. He goes, Jim, I'm telling you, by God, they should treat Terry Duckett like a god when he comes out to Rock Ridge, because you need to appreciate the coverage, and Rock Ridge does. But I mean, you were using that as an example that people need to go out of their way.
They should meet him at the door, whoever it is,
I agree.
Meet him at the door. Yep. What do you need? You want popcorn?
Right. Yep. Yeah. But that's you guys. You have to understand this. And again, I'm going back before I jumped over to the column side, I covered wrestling. And whatever at the prep side. And when you, and again, I'm not stroking people, but when you walked into the Alitos and you saw Bill Breeden, or you walked into Rock Ridge and Rick Amy and those guys, wherever it might be, at Sherrard, they embraced you, man. They really wanted you to be there.
Because
the Bob more names you get in the paper, the better off you are.
Sure.
The more we sell. So
some people don't get it, though.
Oh.
There are people that don't get it.
You're right.
Go to Chicago.
But I mean, you're right in terms of you know the people who appreciate the coverage, you know,
Tell you everything. Yes,
and maybe I'm since I've done it for 30 years, I'm getting more nostalgic now. Am I right or wrong by saying when you brought up like wrestling? Let's go wrestling hospitality room.
Oh,
so you said Bill Breeden, you said Rick Amy.
Yep,
and
two of the best,
Mitten.
Bob Mitten.
Are there characters like that? Or there's a sports line right there? Rick Amy, Bob Mitten, and
again, not enough microphones.
So, yeah, is there enough character in the game anymore? Or is it just me longing for the old days?
Well, we all long. Great point. I think there is. I'll use Geneseo as an example with Tommy Rusk and Coach Murray even though the Joel Stockwell at Rock Island, people like that, Rudiger at Moline, there's character. I mean, they still, but you only get so many Bob Mittens, Rick Amy's, and Bill Breeden's.
Right.
And I think were they as buttoned down as some? No, absolutely not. That was a fun thing about them. Our younger coaches today, they're worried about, got to win, got to develop young people. They're a little more, they're worried. They're not as uptight. Those guys just, they went hell-bent for election every day and had fun with it.
The situation has changed for them, for the coaches.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
I mean it's really
24/7
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's changed the relationship with the kids. You know, kids don't get the time off. I don't want to go there.
No, but you also have to be careful what you say to young people today.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine us?
That's why I'm not the coach anymore.
I know. Let's sit in a room. Sit in a room with us three and take the three guys we just mentioned. And shut the door, and then it's a free for all. Nothing escapes. Could you imagine? We'd laugh for hours.
Oh yeah.
But we break every rule under today's protocol. So, my goodness, especially those three.
My goodness.
Yeah. We all would have been in trouble. A, fired, and B, we would have been outcasts for just the baloney we gave each other.
You're right. Yeah.
So you know, John, you coach.
Yep.
You're in the media.
Yep.
So you get that vision. You, when we talk about interscholastic athletics, means we in a good place, or where do you think we are?
Wow, it scares me.
So what scares you?
Numbers. Football, numbers, the perception, I think football is under attack. And if you're a mommy out there listening, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, my son plays football. My son also plays baseball. I worry like you, but we are so the equipment. It's night and day from when I was in 1975 sticking my Rydell right in the middle of a guy's chest. When you were taught, because the neck's the strongest part of the body, it's going to hold up everything. Baloney. The equipment is far better. We teach tackling every day, not using our head. There is instruction every day on how to be safe in the game. You can't hit anymore in practice. You know, that's what bothers me is kids don't know how to tackle because you don't tackle enough in practice. Go to Moline. They wear shorts and tops every day, shoulder pads and shorts because they don't want to get anybody hurt. Same, you know, we cut down that. So that worries me that the game of football is under fire and numbers and the politics of it. Don't get me started on the IHSA. I mean, it's just... you have 2 more hours. But the other end of it is you have to protect the young people that you're coaching. That I get that. That's improved. But I think there's a disconnect between that governing body and coaches. Plus, all the time that in Glenn, you pulled back. Kids play sports 24/7, 365 days a year. Once in a while, a kid needs a day off.
But the genie's out of the bottle.
Yes.
And you can't...
You can't change it.
And that's the thing.
Nope.
I mean, it's just that's the way the culture is.
When I leave here, fellas, I'm going to go watch my son lift weights, take BP, take ground balls and fly balls. We're December 28th, and then he's going to long snap a football 115 times today. Now... Will he do that tomorrow? Yes. Same routine. That's one of our problems is it can't be a kid.
Yeah.
It can't be a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I come from a totally different age than you guys. So when you're talking about equipment, I remember one time painting our helmets. And one of our guys.
Not lead paint.
Yeah, well, no, sure. I'm sure it was lead paint. And we were painting our helmets with a brush.
Football was made of asbestos.
No, and one of the kids, his name
Coach
was
Rockney.
Pat, dropped his helmet in the grass, and the rest of the year he looked like he was camouflage. I mean, he had grass all over his head. No face mask.
Oh, no.
And so I've told you the story about me about drowning over at Winola one night.
Yeah. So I mean, you sit at the scorer's table.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yep.
So what's your vision of all this?
Well,
You hear. See, I'm up to the point, John Marks. We talk about like youth sports, and I've had kind of a change of heart. When I watch youth sports, my youngest, you know, go gung ho, play 70 youth basketball games, go crazy, try to win them all.
Right.
So my fourth grade daughter is playing travel basketball. Never played really. Play a modified schedule. And so I was sitting a couple weeks ago at a game watching. You know, so my daughter just started playing.
Sure.
And most of the kids she plays with just started playing. So they run up and down the floor. You watch their body language. Are they having? Do they look like they're having fun playing?
Is the game fun for them?
And they are. And are they getting smoked at the time? Probably, yeah.
Okay.
But they're having fun. But then, at the same time, you know, my ears are hearing some of the things that parents say.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm like, here's the question. Right now, they're fourth graders. The question is your child having fun playing that game?
Yeah.
Answer yes. Okay, shut up.
Good day.
We move on.
Good day.
Yeah. And that's just what I'm saying, and I watch my kid play, and I'm like, hey, you like running up and down the floor playing? Yeah.
You asked me a little bit ago if I was you didn't ask me, but I offered that I wasn't a good coach. I wasn't a bad coach, but I wasn't a great coach. I was just whatever. But I think what I'm really good at, and you asked me what at the scores table, what do I see? I think I'm a pretty good judge of coaches. And I one of the things I judge a coach on is do the kids pay attention in timeouts?
Yeah.
That drives me nuts to see a kid looking off while the coach is talking or diagramming a play or whatever he's doing and have the kid. So I had a rule when I was coaching that you had to look me in the eye when I was talking to you. You might not pay attention to
beautiful.
Me, but you had to pay attention. You know, you had to look at me.
I have two things to add to that. Don't look in the stands at mommy and daddy. That nothing drives me.
Like so many.
And
they do it because mommy and daddy want them to look in the stands.
I know. Well, because mommy and daddy have been the ones that drove them to their $65 an hour lesson in the cage with the hitter, who there's only a couple I would ever trust. And the other side of it is, are they having a good time? Are they enjoying themselves? And my biggest frustration with coaches is, especially on a basketball floor, say a young man makes a mistake, first thing that young kid does, and this is wrong, is look to the bench. Am I going to get yanked? What's his reaction to it? Come on, let him play once in a while. Let him play through it.
Yeah.
And then there's not a prescribed – why does it have to be a prescribed timeout at a certain situation? Let the game flow once in a while.
Right.
So,
yep.
And get it out of 20s.
Yeah. All right, talking to John Marks and Glenn Cook, we have to take our first break. And plenty more coming up on WMJ and WMJ.com.
Sometimes when you have more questions than answers about insurance and financial services, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. Your local country financial representative knows that every situation is unique and believes that even the biggest goals start with simple steps. So when it comes to protecting the things you love and planning for the future, don't get overwhelmed. Get started.
Contact your country financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Walk.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Financial Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. Cost per policy will vary. When your computer dies, where do you go to replace it? A website? How do you know what you need? When a virus attacks your computer, what do you do? Do you have virus protection on your computer? How about malware protection? How about computer service? Important questions for you and your business, office, and home. Trust the professionals at Office Specialist to handle your computer service and update your virus and malware protection. To learn more, go to osi.biz and click on the technology tab in the heading. Keep your computer system running smoothly with Office Specialists in Galesburg.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Aledo.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. We got John Marks in here. We got Glenn Cook. How in the world did that happen today, man? All right, so I was thinking about my job today, and I know I still love this profession because I went to
That's
bed
obvious,
last night,
Jim.
And all I've been thinking about is this Rock Ridge Abingdon Avon semifinal game today at 1 o'clock at Western Hall.
No,
please. Am I in the right place?
Yes, please don't change that.
No.
Again, and we just saw John walk by. John Hoshay walk by. I wanted to run out and hug. Yeah, don't change.
That's
do
right.
Not, it's again.
This is a gold mine.
Yeah,
this is
I'm
a
not
gem.
Being. I'm not being cornballish, Jimmy. It's just a lost. Again, I'm not. Whatever political affiliation you are, I just think Captain Comeover has divided us as a nation. So, and there's no such thing as fake news in my business. I had to get that out. Don't change. We need local representation.
No.
You should be excited. And the day you're not,
thank you.
You walk out.
Can I be humble?
Please.
I like to say collectively we a lot of times that I broadcast.
There's nothing wrong with that. Who butters the bread?
That's right.
Okay. No. That's the bottom line. Now, I can't. But you can, and this—that's how many of you are left, Jim?
Yeah.
Let's seriously. I mean,
it's amazing.
The guys that they're sitting. I saw a Facebook post. Guys sitting along Radio Row or Press Row at a holiday tournament. Just sometimes it's just you. Sometimes you got Slim Whitman with you, Bizarre, and the beard and the cookie crumbs and the beard. And he knows Darren knows I love him, and you know he's listening too.
Yeah.
So the other side of it is, and good. It doesn't happen anymore, and I like the internet guys in the Quad Cities. They have a niche, and if that's the way you'll get people to listen to high school sports, I'm okay with it.
Oh yeah.
The old days of Mark Gilliman and Don Sharp on a Friday night.
I'm not that man.
So am I.
Don Sharp is a legend, man.
Yeah. Wasn't yes, legend. He was. He.
And they gave him an award at IBA, Illinois Broadcast Association, 2 years, and I went up to him and I said, I don't know if you know who I am. And I just want to say, man, what a class act you are, and what a representation.
He was a class act.
We need people like you back in this business. And I look up at him as an example, and I think about professional development, and I'm so fortunate. And we talk about, like, competition, about maybe early in your career, it's competition. You want to
Be first.
You want to chase after ambulances. You want to report on fatals. You want to report on these gory trials, and then you get reflective in your career, and you think, "Why? That's not what you want to be about."
It's not. It's still, that takes away the that takes away the human side of things.
Yeah,
it's just I understand the hard news side, and there's a need for it. You have to keep government accountable, et cetera, things of that nature. Be the watchdog, but you know what? Tell a story, Tell a story. Tell something good about what's going on.
And that's why I like the relationship of professionals in the media business and what you can learn. I know at a time I worked for a little bit at OC Radio and yep. the Quad Cities did some part-time stuff, and you were working up there at the time. And I remember Mark Minnick was a longtime Quad City newsman. And he was old school, man. But I loved it because I learned a lot of stuff from him. And I'm so fortunate. You know, I went to SIU Edwardsville, the Harvard of the Midwest.
I hear that from yeah. Coach Lemon about Monmouth all the time.
So, and I remember, I went to Blackhawk College, went there, and went to SIU Edwardsville. And you learn, you know, you get to school learn, you know. But you don't learn until you get out of the job. And I remember, you know, just my first couple of years here working for John, the stuff I learned professionally, and then just with my colleagues in the business, as they say, copying or whatever is the purest form of flattery. Yeah,
exactly.
You can't call it copy. But I tell you, there are so many things I've picked up from so many people in the sure. Quad City media area that I'm so fortunate. And I hope the Quad Cities area is appreciative of the media professionals that they have, because I worry about the dummies that try to use the word fake news as it trickles down to the local level. I worry yeah. about that getting down to our game. And I tell people, you don't want local media. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I want my story told about my dad or my mm-hmm. mom or my brother or my uncle, and ain't nobody going to be there to tell it.
Great point. I don't think that's going to go away. I think there will always be a presence. I don't know what it'll be, whether it'll be a hard copy or electronically. The company that I work for has been phenomenal in trying to go forward digitally, so I'm okay with that. Again, the light's on in my office, so that means my key works. It's a pretty good day. So either way you want to take it.
Sure.
But, Jimmy, you're right. There are so many people along the way, and Glenn, you know this, in your profession. So many people who, A, taught you things, how to do things the right way.
Yeah, a pretty good teacher.
I had the best in the Hurt Brothers. No one who took a chance. Murray, who just, we were friends, and he never coddled me 1 minute. And God bless him for it. And same with you, with John, walking in the building with John and the people you've come across in your career. You need those people. I don't know if they're there anymore. I really don't know.
I got a quick Don Sharp story.
Please.
But John Marks, it's on me and you.
It is.
And it's on people in the profession
to mentor.
Guidance or mentor
yep.
or whatever.
It's the best word is mentor.
Because yeah, I worry about the direction of where we're headed.
Yep.
Don Sharp did the state tournament for years, and the Illinois basketball state mm-hmm. tournament. And part of the time he did it with Jerry Warner. You guys know Jerry?
Yep.
One day, after a long time, I mean, it wasn't just the local teams. They did the whole tournament. And it'd be, what, four games in a day? Six games maybe? I don't know. But they'd do it all day long on WHBL. And it was a long day. So late in the evening, this kid's at the line. He shoots a free throw and hits the front rim, comes off, and Don says his shorts are shot. And Jerry Warner says, yeah, and his socks don't look too good either.
No, that's... Yeah. You get, well, what's the most you've done in a day? How many games?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you.
He's going to do two today,
yeah.
at least.
I think I've done four at maybe like an Orient tournament back in the day. I don't think I can... this year, I lost my voice... I did all week at Orion, and then I think I did the next, and then I did a bunch of games early in the following week, and then Saturday night, there was a boys-girls doubleheader, and I just lost my voice in the second half, and Darren Bizarre had to do play-by-play, because I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I watched Bill Breeden and Rick Amy, Rock Ridge Wrestling, Bill Breeden and Bob Mitten do a state duel on a phone, passing it back and forth, some technical difficulty.
Oh, I could see.
Would you get
that.
Just passing?
I bet you were so good too. Though.
It was. I wasn't paying attention to the duel. And I moved. I'm in the studio here, moving my chair. I couldn't help but get close because I wanted to hear I didn't care what was going on. I wanted to hear what Breeden and Mitten had to say. So no, it's please don't. And I know, don't change. The model works. I promise you. And yes, in my business, we have to change and flow with the tide, but the model works.
Yeah, you have to change. But what would this area be? What would high school sports be without WRMJ?
Oh, my God. It wouldn't think
of that.
Well, here's one thing I really wanted to ask both of you guys today, and I want to hear, you know, responses from both of you in what you do. you know, how one responds to criticism is very important. So, you know, you both coach, and then you both are in the public now. You can be criticized with your job media-wise. You can be criticized coaching. Same with you. You can be criticized coaching or with your PA or
I've had people hit me in the head, PA.
So, I mean, how do you handle criticism? And sometimes you can be I'm in the same position. You know, we all have a defensive mechanism.
Sure.
Oh my goodness. You're like, man, and you want to say something, but you sometimes kind of have to take the high road, but you PO'd. You know what I'm saying about
it?
Oh
yeah.
So tell people, you know, how should one, when you look at criticism, because people always use that rope-a-dope constructive criticism.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute, man. So how do you deal, how should one deal with criticism? Here's a lesson from Glenn Cook and John Marks at 9:39 on Saturday, December 28th.
Criticism is hard for me. I'm thin-skinned. I know I'm thin-skinned. I hear every negative comment. When I go into a room of 100 people and one of them is bad-mouthing me, I dwell on that one guy. And I've always been that way. So criticism for me as a coach or whatever it is has been really hard. So say a parent wants to meet with me and he's really upset with, is this what you're talking about?
Yeah.
He wants to meet with me about his boy's not playing enough. I try to put myself in their shoes. I do. And at the same time, the first thing I tell them, okay, do you think that I would play, because they right away it's personal with them. Their boy's not playing or whatever. It's personal with them. Well, it's not personal with me. It's trying to win a game with me. And so I try to put myself in their shoes and I'd say, you know, you've got to look at it like I see it. You've got to put yourself in my spot that I'm trying to win the game. And so I want the 9 best players, in my opinion, at that moment to win that particular that game. So, but the criticism has always been hard for me. And it's hard for me to this day. If I go home right now, if we stop at McDonald's or something after this and somebody says, what the heck were you talking about on there? Just a little bit ago, you said that, John Nelson called you and said that, what was cooked? That bothers me.
I'm kidding.
No, I know, but it does. I have a hard time with criticism. But I think that most humans do. If you don't learn from criticism, you shouldn't be out there either. You should learn. I've always told my boys, I used to tell Tyson, we had a catcher one time that couldn't catch a cold. I said, when he talks to you,
Ty,
when he talks to you, listen to him. When somebody wants to talk to you about baseball or whatever, listen to him because you might learn one thing from that person. I'm sorry, I went on.
No, that's fine. Man. That's what I want to hear.
Parent side, coaching. Listen, hear them all the way out, all the way, and then react. Tell them, first of all, 99.9% of the young people you're dealing with, they love them. That's their pride and joy.
Oh, yeah.
You have to take that into consideration.
Yep.
I'm guilty. You know, that's my son, daughter, whatever. Listen. And put yourself in their position, then say they need to know it's never personal. It really isn't. If I played all the kids that I liked, we would have been 193.
That's a really good point.
The other side is, if you played all the kids you liked and all the wonderful young people in this world, you might not win much.
That's exactly right.
You know what? You're going to go to a lot of weddings. The other side of it is, just my mom and dad. That's the one thing that they love and adore. Hear them out. Now, offer to, if you'd like to sit down and watch the huddle video with me, how your son missed that block or how the guy in front of him is doing it or how many times he struggles picking up a ground ball, throwing it to the right base, etc., come to practice, okay? But don't say anything while we're practicing. You can come look, but never, ever say a word. And that's kind of the things that I've learned at Allman is a parent can come watch practice. You're not better not say anything. That's not your place. So show them, prove to them, try to gain their trust and understand, and then go forward. And then my bottom line to that is, does your son or daughter know that you came to me? Finally, no, most of the times. And then work-wise, if I get a nasty email or whatever it might be, a post, my response, and I learned this a long time ago from a great publisher, A, thank you for reading and responding, because 99% of them are customers, and you need them. and I'm sorry I let you down. I will work harder to try to win back your trust next time.
Interesting.
Fellas, in 2003, and I don't mean to dominate the conversation.
No, you guys
both know how I feel about the Chicago Cubs. Okay? I loathe everything about that organization. Always have.
I'm about them.
Yeah, I know. And the great... you're the exception. The greatest part... I love when anybody... the Cardinals could be 19-0 that day. As long as the Cubs lost, great day in my world. All right? But in 2003, and I was just brutal. The Cubs, we all know, were the greatest day. Steve Bartman has been invited in, and I put him on my insurance policy, my life insurance policy. The day before, when they went up 3-1, I had, and back then, remember, it's email, 1,100 emails.
Oh, my God, no kidding.
Yeah, it was, I had to have help from the two ladies in the office to read them, and it was, you no good, you rotten, you piece of, here we are, we're going to the World Series, stick this.
And 1,000 of them were mine.
Yep, 1,100 times we had to, thank you for reading and responding, I appreciate it, I'm sorry I let you down, I'll move on.
So, and that's good email-wise, because I think the one thing that bugs me about the media business, and sometimes I question, should news sites, vis-a-vis Argus Dispatch, WQAD, KWQC, WHBF, should they have a comment section under their stories? Because it's lowest common denominator.
Exactly.
And here's what gripes me. I get so mad. I hate covering the court system personally because whatever the system circumstance is, it's people at their lowest possible life point in their life. It's either if it's a civil case, they're at their lowest point. They're either a victim in a criminal case or they're a defendant and their family. So, but then
it's the most depressing place ever.
So if you don't know the person. And I write a story on just the facts of what's happened. You get the immediate scum of the earth. You know, let them fry.
Yep.
But then that same person, 2 weeks later, you do a story and somebody else they know gets in trouble. What's their comment? They're innocent until proven guilty. And you're out to get them.
You have a vindictive bite.
That's the social media common denominator. It makes me laugh, but it makes me so mad. And we have a comment section on our post. And that's where, to me, the media business, the actual work the media does, the local media, is quality work, but it deteriorates because of the stupid comment section and people going to that and reading those dumb frickin' comments.
But that's the social media side of our world, too.
Oh, I know. The genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah.
I get that. All right, so we transitioned from... I forgot to bring this up early because I want to poke the bear here a little bit in Glenn Cook. Did you know they had like a ninth Glenn Cook Day at Rock Ridge High School earlier this year?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm kidding, because they should have it, and you said they should roll out the red carpet.
No,
Terry Duckett.
Terry Duckett,
I tell people, they should treat people like Glenn Cook,
that
strike
they
the
do.
Field, that's too old to do it, the football field, and shows up every night PA-wise, and he has vertigo, and he does it. You ever heard Glenn Cook vertigo stories?
Oh, yeah.
And people like Augie Carrison, there's countless people like that at
everywhere.
Every school.
Yep.
That they need their just reward.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other part of this business that I love. I love seeing those type of people. I like seeing Glenn Cook when I go to a game. I like seeing Joe Thompson in the hospitality.
Yeah.
I like seeing Dave Giles from Monmouth Roseville sitting at the scorer's table.
Yeah.
And when Joe Lopez did it for a long time.
Yep.
At all of them.
Same thing.
Those are the relationships where I'm to my point in my career. Maybe I don't really... enjoy broadcasting the game as much as I do the other surrounding.
Seeing the people.
Yeah.
Best popcorn in the world is in Orion. And I'll go to my grave. So that's that kind of thing that you said. The other part of it is recognizing those people. Allman Hall of Fame a week ago. Cody Sedlock got in. Okay. We all kind of obvious. Harlan King, ticket taker, 50 years.
Yeah,
it's great they recognized him.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Should have been 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of it is, those people, Glenn, I wrote the dang, we took pictures of Glenn back and forth all wobbly and vertigo and trying to paint the lines when a Friday night football game.
Right.
The people that it takes to volunteer, we just use that, we call it Friday Night Lights.
Right.
The people that it takes, Jimmy, just to put on an event that are volunteering their time. Now, some people maybe school administrators, maybe a teacher that gets the $15 check to make sure crowd control is okay. They're not getting rich off this.
No, but you said something a little bit ago that money can't, you know, why do you do this? I know this. What I do out there, Rock Ridge has been my adult life. It really has been. And I walk down the hallway at Rock Ridge, or if a kid, if a kid recognizes me and says, "How you doing, Coach?" There is no money on this earth worth that. I mean,
don't you get that way when a young basketball player or a football player walks in?
Yeah, that's why you do it.
I tell you, the other day, I was at the Lester Macomb Holiday Tournament. We have a kid that played at Mercer County, all right, and he transferred, moved to Monmouth Roseville. Rashawn King is his name, and I got done doing my game, all right. And they were there already. They were there early, and they were just messing around, shooting, you know, an hour before the game. And I went down, and I sat down, and I had this great conversation with him. Said, "Hey, how you doing, man? You look good in blue and silver. I hope you're getting along and you're transitioning well." And it's like those.
That's, you can't pay for that, Jim.
Conversations that you get with.
Oh, kids, yeah.
You know,
a photo of you with the one, and I'm, this is not a knock, 1-8 Sherrard football team after.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah,
it was one of the most enjoyable seasons I've ever had doing that game because I know what it takes, and I know how hard it is for those kids to show up every day and play and take criticism, and it's so hard to turn around a losing culture. People don't realize
that. But did they really lose? That's what I'm talking about. They won the game.
Class group of kids. And again, is their season different if they don't cramp in game one?
That's right.
Just throwing that out there. But the other side of it is, kids are amazing people. I'm the bad cop. I yell at them every day. I'm the designated, you know that. You know I'm the designated bad cop. You got the good cops everywhere. But they still smile. They're resilient. Oh, yeah. They know.
They know you care, Jim. Oh.
And how old are you, Coach Cook?
79.
Okay, so how do you...
How was the Last Supper?
I don't know if I'm fair. I don't know if it's fair to say this, but you don't remind me of a 79-year-old.
Absolutely
not.
Like
it. So that's a compliment. I don't want to.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
79, dude.
Yeah.
But do you think?
Thank you.
And this is a good question. Do you think that? I don't know how to phrase this question. Do you think?
Don't be afraid to hurt my feelings.
If you didn't have this interaction with the school and kids, do you?
I might be dead.
Do you think you'd feel like you do today?
Explain that. No, I feel, being around you, for instance, being around you guys today, I feel better. Makes me feel, if I come in that door and I wasn't feeling good, I'll guarantee you, I feel better. I felt great anyway, but I'll guarantee you, because it's happened countless times. I'll be around somebody that's positive, and kids are positive. It makes you feel better.
And funny.
Some of the things they say just are just wonderful.
They ain't right. No.
They come up. They are so quick-witted. Hey, Jimmy, your mom called. In a busy hallway, your mom called. She wants her underwear back. Now, this is kids waiting to get on a bus with 100 kids in the hallway. I mean, I was on the floor laughing.
He's going to apply for the Rock Ridge golf job again. That's
right. But they keep you young.
It's
yes.
Like when you get like a note or something, and you think, why am I doing it? Like a couple weeks ago, I got a note, just a very simple note from Alex Johnson, the head coach of Orion.
Yep.
Oh, isn't he a great young man?
And I about started crying, man. I'm like, wow, thank you. And we don't do as many Orion games as we do Rock Ridge or Sherrard or Mercer County.
He's
and
a great young man.
It's just that type
man.
Of stuff that it knocks you. I mean, it brings to your knees sometimes, and you think then you say it's.
There's a kid over at Rock Ridge, Grant Jorgensen. Everybody should know Grant Jorgensen. He's a great young man. He's one of hundreds. But I'm
he
just saying.
He plays last night in that game.
But he's just a great kid, great young man.
You don't forget those.
No.
You really, no matter how old, whatever. No. You being a busboy at the Last Supper, you being 700 years old, doesn't matter. You don't forget. Seriously, and not everybody's as good as Tyson. I mean.
Oh no.
But you for you.
No.
But you also, because he was a high character, high quality, might be my son's favorite person on God's green earth.
Yeah, well, and Jeff Henry, I hate this, the transition to the Tyson Blazer stories, but he's one of the, you know, we talk about one of the favorite side of the record, I say
Jeff Henry, awful. They don't come any better.
Tyson Blazer, fortunate, like Liz Watkins and their
friends. Oh, yeah. They're cousins, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Watkins and Blazer talked about how they approached life, or approached play.
Just think, they came from Rockbridge. She caught softball at Iowa, and he caught baseball at Iowa at the same time.
But Henry always told the great story about Tyson Blazer. I'll never forget when he broke on the scene his freshman year and the IQ plays he made. But then, you know, he said he still acted like a freshman, where kids would say, "Hey, freshman, pick up the balls or pick up the gym," and he'd do that type of stuff.
Oh.
And he's a legit elite talent.
Oh,
and he's doing that type of stuff.
He was. Ethan's a lot of that, like that too. But the
kids that don't pick up the balls, the kids that don't do the little things, they don't get it, and they may not have as much success. The kid that they'll pick up the red scout team hat after a game, after practice, who, without you saying, "Hey, sophomores, pick up equipment today," the kid who runs from the huddle to his position during practice, every point, or infield.
But as a coach, don't you see that?
You see that?
It's like they got a spotlight on them.
Yep.
I mean, I tell kids that all the time. You want to catch his coaches. I've got a kid right now that he comes in, looks like somebody beat his dog when he comes in here. I said, "You have got to change your body language. Your body language sucks." If I was coming in from outside here and you were looked like that, I would turn around and walk right back out. How many of them don't get that?
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Best part about practice, and besides the people that I get to coach with, you can understand this. Watch kids, if there's BP, watch kids, nobody walks. If we're going to transition,
that's great.
Thank God for Jerry Burkett and Robbie and people. There's no walking, and when there's a transition, everybody, if there's something that needs to be picked up, doesn't matter who you are, everybody does it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the people that
you pick up on that. Yep.
We're out of time. Man, it's been great. And appreciate your work, John Marks. Keep it up, man.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
I do too, Johnny.
In young people's lives.
Yeah.
And Glenn Cook, always, man, always be involved in young people's lives.
Yeah, I hope to. My goal is to make it through this 8th grade class.
All right.
So.
Well, we'll see you for 4 more years at least.
Okay.
All right, Glenn Cook and John Marks, man, a fun Saturday morning on WRMJ.